Okay, this is August 22nd, 1989, and I'm at Phoebe Parsons' house in Armour, and she's going to tell about a famous fight that took place. Go ahead.
I start now.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell this about Jimmy Doakes. He come in here, nobody knows where he come from, he didn't say, and he didn't tell them, but they had a grist mill down here at Army, and they'd go down there and they'd get their gristers ground of a Saturday, and they would sit around and tell tales, you know, and play jokes and first one thing and another. Well, now, this Jimmy Doakes, they had these your horseshoes. They had these horseshoes, and he said, "Let me have one of them horseshoes." I just hadn't told to him. He just straightened it out. Straightened his horseshoe out. Well, that scared him, I guess, or something. And he said, "Do you got any big nails? Sure, hand me some nails and I'll make a puzzle." He got the nails and made a puzzle and worked it. For I have worked these nails myself a long time ago, you know, the bomb. I'd work them. But now I don't know if it's the kind he did or not. Well, my brother-in-law, Peter Schoolcraft, he married my sister, and both of them has passed away. But I sat and listened to him tell it many a time. Well, okay. Now I'm going to tell you about a fight that my great half uncle Harvey Simmons told us over and over, and my brother-in-law John Cottrell, he married my sister, and he told it over and over. So I've heard it so many times. I believe I can tell it. I'll do my best. Some of them had stole some chickens. I guess Doakes might have been in on it or something. Now, I don't really know what he done, but he done something. And they didn't have nothing but a squire there. And the squire was afraid to arrest him or anything, noticed he's a powerful man. So he wanted to deputize my great half-uncle to take him in, you know, like put him in jail. No, he says, "No, I don't want to fool with him. I don't want to have anything to do with him," said. "You don't need to," said. "Oh, yes, I will," said. "Here, I'm pinning this badge on you and I'm giving you a gun." And they said it has two shells in it, but it had been snapped on and he didn't think it had fire, but they knew if it would, he'd kill him. So they just thought he could scare him around and get him in. So they went up the hill someplace, and I don't notice where this was. But there's a little road went out one way and a little road went the other way, you know, to go take him get him in the jail. And when he got up there, he said, "Simmy, me not go. Couldn't talk very plain." "Yes," he says, "you have to go." He said, "No, me not go, Simmy. Me go this way and you go that way," is showing him. He said, "No, I don't want to go with you, and I ain't going with you." He said, "Well, I'll just knock you down then, and you will go." He said, "I'll knock you down. If you don't fall, I'll run around and see what's holding you up." Kawami took him and down he went. Well, he got up out of there, and they got into a powerful fight. And the first time that he struck at my great half-uncle, he swallowed three teeth, his three front teeth. For I've seen him many times talk to him, he told me this tale. Well, he is a powerful fighting man, too. He is a big man. Both of them was. But I never seen this Doakes fella. But he left out, you know, and we never heard tell of him anymore after that. Well, when he done that, why Harve, he just went to laying a fist to him. They just fed around to lay board themselves out. They just sit down and rest. When they sit down and rested enough, they got up and got into it again. He tried to get him to go. He wouldn't go. He said, "I'll shoot you if you don't go." He said, "No, me not go, Simmy." And he snapped that gun two or three times, it wouldn't fire. Well, they got into it again, they went to fighting again. Now, I don't know just how this went exactly, I'm just telling you what I hear. And some way they got to the fighting around and got down the rolling around the fighting, you know, one another. And Horace said, he said, "I'll wear you out," Doakes did. Said he got him with a cuff of the neck and a seat of the pants. And he'd raise him up in the air just as far as he could, and then he'd aim to wear him out to hitting him down on the ground. You know, he didn't know how to fight. And these are big grubs, you know, we call them. growing up, and he'd grabbed one of them to make it harder for him to pull him up and pull the plum out. He'd pull the plum out. And he just kept doing him out of the way till he almost wore himself out and they rested a while. And he said, "You ready to go?" I said, "No, me not go." "Well," he said, "you're going to have to go." He said, "I'm deputized to take you." He said, "I don't care. I ain't going." "Well," he said, "we'll just rest here a while and we'll get into it again." So he said he got a hold of him some way and said he went to hitting his neck like breaking a rabbit's neck. Said every time he hit him, he thought his head was going to jump off. And said directly, he said they just fit around and he just bored his gun handle out off on his head. And said directly, he'd knocked him down over the hill. And he was laying there and he said the blood was running in his eyes. That's my Uncle Harvey, my great half uncle. He was laying there and he said he heard him coming up the hill and he couldn't see, you know. He had blood in his eyes and he said he wiped it out the best he could and hunkered up his leg. Said, but he got up there, he just kicked him over the hill again. And said he just kept doing that till they just wore themselves out again. So they rested again. He grabbed him, tried to wear him out again, pulling up his grubs. I don't know how many times he'd done that now. I couldn't tell you that. But anyhow, Harvey had hit him with clubs and couldn't kill him. And he said, he's come up the hill once and he said, "I'll get you." He said he could see then pretty good and said he tried to shoot him and it wouldn't go off and he just aimed to job his eyes out as he come up the hill and it went up over his head and shot a wisp out of his hair. He said, "That's pretty good, I'll try it again." And he done the other side the same way. And they said, before they got through, they fit around and rested a half a day. Before they got through, he said, he broke three of his ribs. He broke three of my great uncle, half uncle's ribs, punching him. He punched him. Said, if he had known how to hit with his fist, he'd have killed me, but he said he didn't. So directly he was down laying and he was pounding on him, Uncle Harvey was, and he said, Doak said, "Simmy, me quit, me tarred, me go in." He said, "Thank God, if you hadn't have said it, I would." You know, Potty John Cottrell, my brother-in-law, he said they cleared a half acre ground, but you know better than that. They couldn't have cleared that much. But he said he went and looked where they fit, and it was awful. Just looked like where a gang of hogs had been a fighting. And they kept their bed. I reckon you can keep put that on there. You got those?
Okay.
They made out to crawl and get into a house, an old house that looked where it was at. And they kept their bed for a month or two, and they never put him in jail. And when he got able to go, he left, and that was the last of it.
And his name was Jimmy Doakes?
Jimmy Doakes, but that's all he told him. And a man that stout, I believe if he had known how to fit, he wouldn't have lasted very long, would he? He just didn't know how. He'd just grab him up and try to wear him out. Now that is the truth of hearing it over and over and over. And Harvey Simmons was a man. He never was what. Did he come awful near you and know that thought?
Hey, what about the time that somebody came to the house and wanted to ask if they were eating dinner?
Oh, that was that book. Okay. That was still my great half uncle. That was Harvey Simmons' brother. He was a bully.
Uh-huh. What was his name?
Well, you know, I told you about it once. If you want me to tell you again, I can't. If you want me to tell you about that. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, my other great half-uncle, his name was Whiggy Cottrell. And he is a bully. He had never been whooped. He'd had several fights, the way I understood, but I just don't know who it was with. I was very small when I heard this. And there's a bully, heard about him and come hunting him up. And of course, he was living in an old log house like he lived in an old log house in them days and times, I guess. That's been a long time ago. And there's eating dinner when he come and call. And they said, he said he's hunting for Whiggy Cottrell. Said, "You're talking to him." He said, "Come in and eat a bite with us." He went in, sit down and eat with him. Told him what he come for. Said, I come to whoop a bully. Said, I'm a bully. Said, okay. They got out, and I think the yard was, the way they talked, was kind of slidey, you know, kind of, it wasn't this real level. And it rained just a little and slippery like. And he's getting the best of my great half uncle. He's getting the best of him. Well, right out along there, a place, little place to my house, they said, there's a little stream of water, you know, come down. And he said, my uncle Senior is going to get him directly, and there's a bust in their shirts every time they struck one another. And he said he went, just as hard as he could go around, and this year other took after him, thought he had him whooped, you know. And he jumped that gutter, that little, you know, stream of water, and he just hung her down. And they said when he jumped that gutter and come over on him, he just raised and broke his jaw in three pieces. And they got him to the doctor the best they could, and that was the end of that. Mm-hmm. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. And that other is too. Mm-hmm. I tell you, he was an awful man. My first cousin, Dolly Carr, he's dead now. He said, if I had to fight you, I would shoot you. He said, it wouldn't be no need to fight me. You couldn't stand me a minute. He never did, never was one. Harvey Saints, my great half-uncle, Harvey Simmons, and Bully, said they was having a dance one time, and he'd run off with his girlfriend somewhere, and he come back, and they'd shot the lights out, and his brother was one of his friends, I don't know if it was his brother or not, but he was hollering for him to come, as there four on him and fighting him, you know. And he was hollering for him, heard him coming, and he was just knocking him right and left as he come, till he got to him. And he just grabbed him up and carried him out of there, or they'd kill him, I suspect. And he said, he cussed, you know, and said, knack him, we knack him. He cussed about it. And that's the truth, too. It's awful fires.
Phoebe, did you ever know anything about where your people came from, the Cottrells?
Well, sir, I don't really know. My grandfather was a fourth Indian, they said. Yeah. And they all lived in these woods, you know, all over these woods and everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I don't just remember, you know.
They were some of the first people in Calhoun County, you think?
Well, I couldn't tell you that hardly either. Mm-hmm. I don't know who was the first was in here. But when I growed up, to be enough to know them, why, they just lived all over Bear Fork, and I'm wood, you know, first one place and another. And we moved in there, too.
Mm-hmm. But your mother was part Indian, wasn't she?
No, my mother was a Dutch.
Dutch?
She was Dutch and a Lahew. She was mixed with the Dutch, she said, and a Lahew. She is a little low woman. She wasn't very tall.
Yeah.
Dutch and what?
Her father was Whitlatch and her mother was a Lahew. And her mother died when she was born and they had to put her out amongst people, you know. Her grandpa and grandpa got too old to keep house.
She was out on her own when she was like 6 or 7 or something, wasn't she?
She was about 6 years old when they put her out amongst people. Stayed first one place and another.
Was that in this country?
Yeah. At Taylor County in Wetzel, she said, where she was born at. And she never seen her grandpa. She seen her grandpa and grandma, but she was awful little that she forgot them, you know. But she said her father went somewhere and got married again and had a boy, and he is 16 years old. She just talked come through to her where she's at, and said that he was playing poker with some drunks, and he win their money fair and square, and they told him he stole it, won it back, and he said, no, I won't give it back to you for our winning. And they said they shot him through another table with a gun. Shot him dead. And that's all the relation she had that she knew of, you know. Her cousin, Jane Metz, she was in here and married.
And your father's name was?
My father's name was a Cottrell.
Yeah.
And my mother's name was a Whitlatch.
What was his
name? She married, you know what I mean, huh?
What were the given names?
My mother?
Yeah.
Melindy.
And your father?
Melindy Copper.
And your father?
He was John Copper, just plain John Copper. And this other John told me this tale about that. He was my brother-in-law, but he married my sister. Mm-hmm. you know. She's living yet. She's 90, about 91 now. Still living.
What year were you born, Petey?
I was born in 1908. Okay. I'm 81 past. And I'm a mother, I'm a baby one of 11. Yeah. And Noah, he's about 87 or 88.
He says he's 98.
Oh, no.
No,
he's forgetful. He's forgetful. And my sister, you know, she is 3 years older than I was, and she's been gone right after my husband died, and he's been gone 5 years, about the 18th of September.
Did you live in one place most of the time you were growing up?
Yeah, right across this hill. We go across this hill, and then you go up another hill. Uh-huh. And across it, I was born over there in Wildcat, to call it. Waters of Bear Fork, they're going down into Bear Fork.
And you were raised
pretty
much
I was in Calhoun, huh?
You were raised there pretty
yes,
much?
Yes, I was raised there. Uh-huh. And we lived there mostly about all of our life. So we moved around place and place, you know, till I got married.
Did people, when you were getting raised up, did any people talk about any witches around?
Any what?
Witches.
Rich people?
Witches.
Witches. Oh, yeah, they'd talk about them, but that's one thing I never did pay any attention to, or I just wouldn't fool with them, you know. Mm-hmm. I just didn't like to hear it, and I just didn't believe in witches.
There was no one person in particular that they...
I seen four men. It wasn't me and you, wasn't it, when we went over there? They was going over there. Now listen, this is the truth. They know this man. And he isn't at their World War One. They fit through one another, you know. And he got that there soldier boys payroll and stuff, you know, their payroll. And he was going with her to ride, and he had to get off and hide or something till they got away, and then he went to hide it. And he went back, and they never did see the money anymore. They must have just took it from him, or he buried it, and he got away from them or something. And they call it the noise holler. They say when you're going to go up in there, you can hear a noise, but I don't believe that either. Mm-hmm. Now they say you can, scared a lot of people. They said they're going to find it. And they said they'd stand a month or two till they found it. And if they found it, they'd give me half of it. I said, oh, no, I don't believe I want half of it. It'd be too much. You asked her. And now you can't tell for sure whether there's going over there for that or what, for, you don't know. But now there's going to stay a month out of everything ready to go with. Now they'll never find out if it is buried, you know, it gets heavier and heavier.
They called that place the Noise Holler.
Yeah.
Was there other places like that around the head?
Not as I know of, only that.
I mean, was there places they thought were haunted around that you...
They thought that was, but I don't think it was. No, there wasn't anymore. But now, we lived up on this ridge where I'm talking about before you went over the hill where I was born. You know, we lived up on that ridge, up on that hill. And that's when John McCune come and played that tune, them tunes for my dad. You know, he played the fiddle a whole lot, like that one that died, and I can't think of his name. He just played the old time way, you know, my dad did. And John McCune could play anyway, he wanted to. Now, I don't know who he learned after or anything like that, but he can play any kind of tune. He's the best I ever hear. I played after him, after I got to learn to play. And he's awful good on that there wild horse, we call it. Some people call it something else. Mm-hmm. I played with him, and I'd give anything to have a tape recorder to tape him down. He was one of the best fiddlers I ever heard tell. Mm-hmm. He's good. And they'd come for miles to play the fiddle. My dad would beat the fiddlesticks. That's how I learned that. And there wasn't hardly no banjos or no nothing, you know. Just now and then you might see somebody with an old one, with no count. And they'd make them, and most of them try to make them, you know.
Did your mother play any music?
No, but she could dance and she could sing. Mm-hmm. No, she couldn't play no music.
How about your grandparents? Did you know them?
No, I never. I was born, you know, and right after that, they was dead. I never seen them, but I don't know whether they could play or not. But my Uncle Sennett, my father's brother, could play the fiddle.
Sennett Cottrell.
Yeah, and my Uncle Solly, he could play the banjo a little. He's crippled, you know. Mm-hmm. His dog bit him, and 9 days he went mad, and he got crippled. And, mm-hmm. And they'd have big gatherings to come on him, and then they'd just never quit running, you know.
Mm-hmm. Was Sennett Cottrell?
He's in bad shape for years and years.
Uh-huh. Was Sennett Cottrell a pretty good player?
Yeah, he didn't do too bad. Uh-huh. He done pretty good. And he is an awful worker.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they worked like, they just go out and clear up patches of ground, raise crops and everything that way, and have big families, you know. And you couldn't get a hold of a penny hard. Mm-hmm. You sold chickens. Mm-hmm. And eggs for to get your groceries with. If you got a hold of a dollar or two, you had the right smart. Well, I can tell you, after me and Perry's married, and we just had Brenton, I think, in. And he was working in the corn, you know, and he couldn't get away to work. And he said, he told his mother, he said, I'm going to borrow $10 so I can go and work out a little money. I need a little money. I'm about out of everything, and I ain't got no groceries hardly. You can't do that. He said, yes, and I will do that. He never quit. He got that corn out over 10-acre field, him and some of them helped him a little, plowing, you know, and everything. He went down to Hans Parsons, and Hans Parsons sold eggs, and he kept his money, you know, kept new wheels, and then he'd get the money first, you know, and he had some money laid up. He told him, well, I'd borrow $10, he wanted to go to the store and get a few groceries till you get a little bit more hoeing done, and so he could go. Said, do you want me to go and get somebody to stand good for me? He said, I don't need anybody standing good for you. He gave him $10. He thanked him, and away he went. And you may believe this or not, this is the truth. We just had one young. You know, of course, he went to the store, and you have his 3-bushel meal sacks. He filled it full of, he got a poke of flour, and I couldn't tell you what all he had full. And he had a gallon of oil, a gallon of lamp oil. The kerosene, they call it. Mm-hmm. And this hand, I forget what he had in that hand that he got. Just barely couldn't hold that there sack on his back, you know. And he had $2 or $3 left out of $10. What can you do now? Mm-hmm. Go to the store now, it's $10, see what you can bring back. You could hide it in a pole. Mm-hmm. Now, ain't that a difference? Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what my Uncle Solly said, and I was a little girl, I never forgot. He said, there'll be a day coming. I won't be here to see it, but some of you might. He said, there'll be a day coming. They'll throw the money on the streets. That means, you know, it takes so much money to get anything. That's what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. Oh, nobody believed him. There wasn't anybody believed him. But it's that way, ain't you, throwing your money on the streets if you buy anything? You know what it takes so much to buy? Mm-hmm. And now it come true. And they said, Perry, my husband, said, there's a man went through here. He said, he went through here, and he said, there'll be roads in here, there'll be grass in here, there'll be electric, nobody believed him. He said, there'll be planes a-flying through there, nobody believed him. It wasn't no time till the planes was a-flying through there, after he had told that now. Mm-hmm. And they had the old cars on Fords, and of course there's dirt roads. There wasn't no paved roads like they are now. But I don't see how them people know that. Nobody told them, you know, they couldn't. Mm-hmm. Lots of them couldn't read their names. Mm-hmm. My dad and mother, either one, couldn't read their names. Mm-hmm. Never went to school a day in their life. He went a half a day one day, and a boy pinched him, and he knocked him over top of the seat, and he was afraid of the teacher, and he ran off, and he never went back no more. He never learned nothing.
You know your grandparents' names, Phoebe?
Yeah.
Cottrell?
I know the Cottrells, but I don't know hers now. No. I never did learn her. If I did, I forgot them. My grandpap was Solomon Cottrell. And my grandmother, she was a good midwife. She took care of me in Surrey. She named me after her mother, and she named Surrey, the one's dead, after her, Surrey Elizabeth. And her grandmother's name was, her mother's name, I guess, was Phoebe Jane. She called me Phoebe Jane. Now, I never was big enough to know them or see them or anything. Yeah. And boy, she was a stout woman, my grandmother was. She was pretty old-like. My dad said, that she, her, his dad weighed 100, or let's see, weighed 200, I believe it was, and 4 pounds. I believe now that's what it was, as well as I can remember. And said his mother would stick her arm out like that and raise him up off the ground. You talking about stout people. They had to be, didn't they? Now, I know he's telling the truth, too. They just worked like slaves. That's the reason they couldn't get no school. You know, they lived back so far away they couldn't get to the school. Yeah. And when you did, you had 4 miles to go, and uphill and downhill and around the hill. And you, bad weather, you couldn't just get out. You wasn't sufficiently dressed to go.
Jenny, what do you think?
I think maybe we better go.
I wouldn't doubt it before we talk all night or play.